If it hits him bigger than a handful, you're risking a sprint time.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Well, you've joined me tonight. About 10 minutes into the film Weird Science. Yeah, I mean, it just happens to be on TV. I don't know. He's talking about a computer there. Anyway, look, that's enough of that. I had hoped to be talking to you, having had my face drilled off by a specialist. If you were listening last night, or indeed any night this week, I think, I probably mentioned I was going to be having a root canal tonight at 9:30 at my cool dude's late night dentist. Anyway, he decided it would take too long, so he wasn't going to do it tonight, so I'm going back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Now, I've been on a bit of a roller coaster, I'll be honest, emotionally speaking. I've been on very few actual roller coasters. One was on the end of the Brighton Pier called, I think, Crazy Mouse. Did that to try and prove to my ex-girlfriend that I was a very different person now. that was a long time ago. But still, what an absolute hero. And the only other time I've been on a roller coaster was... Right. Okay, well, I hadn't expected this to go this way, but... here we go. So I've been on that roller coaster with my ex-girlfriend to try and prove to her that I was a changed man and a viable option. After that, I went on a roller coaster in Disney World Paris when I was doing some gigs in Paris. I went to Disneyland World. I don't know. And I went on I think it's an Indiana Jones ride, and it's got a loop on it. And I came round the corner, and I was saying to my friend who I was with, I mean, as long as there's not a loop, I should be all right. And there was a loop, and she burst out laughing and said, I'm not doing it. And something just happened inside me, and I just said, I'm doing it. I just, like, and it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to prove that I'm brave. I think I shut down emotionally. I think that's what happened, is it was like a shield came down over my fear. It was like a shield came down over my perception of danger sensors. And I was like, I'm doing it. Anyway, I did it. That's the end of that story. Then I also went to on two roller coasters in the Mall of America, which is, and you'll never guess, it's a mall in America, but it's also it's got a theme park inside a shopping center. Basically, that's how big the shopping center is. I was doing a tour, a sort of mini tour of America in an RV with a comedian called Eugene Merman. And we were touring around, and he said, we have to go to the Mall of America. And we did, him and his wife and Julie and Chet, who we were on tour with, Katie, with the name of his wife. I just didn't want people thinking that I didn't know Katie's name. Anyway, we all got wristbands to go on these rides, and went off on our own. I say on our own. They went off in their respective romantic stroke life partner type couples. I went off on my own, like a legend, just prowling the theme park. I don't think you could say prowling like it's cool anymore, if indeed you ever could. Anyway, I went off and I saw one that I liked the look of. I mean, that sounds awful after I said prowling. I saw one of these roller coasters in a shopping centre that I liked the look of. And I queued up for it. And then it was like a four-person chamber that you went on it in. And it was me and three children. And I can't remember much about it. Like, I remember at the time thinking, I've got a lot of time for the vibe of those kids. But I do remember I swore quite a lot through sort of explosive terror. And at the end I said, I'm really sorry about all my swearing. And they said, oh, it's fine, our mum swears way more than that. Apart from that they said mom, of course. And then we all sort of staggered off the ride and their mom was there waiting for them. And I was just like a man who had just shared quite a profound experience with her children. So it was an odd vibe. Anyway, look, my point is I've been on an emotional roller coaster because last night I barely slept because the pain of my gob pain really cranked its handle. And so I didn't really get much sleep. And then suddenly the pain eased at about 5 and I slept for a bit. But I'm quite buggered and I was sort of hoping that the thing that would get me through this show would be the euphoria of having been drilled, you know, of being like, I've done it, I'm free. But that hasn't happened. So all I've got is the sort of, that feeling. I was quite excited. I don't know about you, but if there's a thing I sort of have to do and I'm not much looking forward to it, if it then gets cancelled or postponed, not through my doing, but through someone else's decision making or ineptitude, you know, or lack of availability, I have a sort of like a rush of euphoria of freedom. And so when he was like, you know, we'll do it tomorrow at 6 p.m. I was like, brilliant. This is absolutely amazing. And then I went outside and I hopped in my van and I drove around Roehampton because that's where I went to university and it's quite close to a dentist. And I had a little trundle around there and I was like, this is great. And now I just feel flat as a pancake. Anyway, let's pick ourselves up with some sweet jams. Let's see how far we are into weird science. Hang on. Let's I don't know if you know about weird science.
I like Lisa. I will do just fine.
Oh God, it's creepy as shit. It's a film from, well, I can tell you when it's from by tapping info, from 1985. This is how it is described. Two high school nerds accidentally create the woman of their dreams. Hang on. Two high school nerds accidentally create the woman of their dreams when an electrical storm zaps their home computer. Well, I mean, who can honestly say we haven't been there? It was quite stormy in Crystal Palace earlier. I've got tens of dream women here. Because I was just running around outside with my computer above me. Holding my computer above me, not just... Oh, criminy jibbins. Right, okay. Let's pop this on. And come on. Come on, then. You, please. Oh, I have to type my code into there. Because I've talked so long at the start. Anyway.
Time I think of lying in your attic.
Well. That was Hey by Pixies, and before that was Zorbing by Stornoway. Now, I've received about 9 emails. I don't want to swing it about, but I've received 9 emails whilst I've been quote-unquote on air, saying that the player on the Resonance website isn't working, that you're getting about 5 seconds and then it's sort of just looping those 5 seconds, and various people have tried resetting their computers and tried it on various operating systems and apparently it's not working. So I think that means it's a very real possibility that nobody can hear me. But I just have to keep going, because I think I just have to keep going until 1:30 in the complete absence of any evidence that anyone is listening. I mean, it's the pinnacle of my broadcasting career, certainly. I mean, I'll keep an eye on the email and see if anyone emails to say that they can hear me, but currently it's it's not looking like anyone can hear me. I guess this is karma, isn't it? You know, if you're sort of willfully obtuse for long enough, then eventually the universe will take it out of your hands. Just got another email there from Claire Kelly. Can't load today's show. I don't think anyone can hear me. I'm assuming this will be recorded on the internal thing that they have at Resonance. So I'll just keep going. I guess some people could be listening on some people can hear me, they can listen through an app. That's ruined it. Well, no, it's good that there are people there, but crumbs. Why don't one of you who can hear me go on Twitter and tell them how to do it, because apparently one of the emails I got said that people on Twitter are saying that they can't make it work, and I'm not on Twitter, so it'd be good if one of you could do that, and then you'd get to paint yourself as a hero. Right, so it's working on the app, but not on the website. Crumbs. There's a real range of responses to technical mishaps that I've experienced over the last few months of doing things online. So some people are very quick to blame themselves, and with some people that thought never occurs, and then obviously there's a lot of people in between, but it was giving me a real giggle briefly for thinking that there was no one, you know, but you know, there are people now, you know, albeit not many, there is something heroic about there being no one listening, you know, that, you know, whereas there being a handful of people is like, yeah, all right. Anyway, good on you, everyone. Good on you, everyone. I'm going to have to turn my phone over because I just keep getting emails from people asking me how they can fix it. Anyway, right. It's definitely perking me up a bit. Either that has, or I made myself another one of those crushed ice strawberry bad boys, and maybe that's just taking the edge off. Anyway, all right. What we'll do. Oh, shit. I just I just, well, I hit a cup with a glass, and weirdly, it was a draw in that neither of them was damaged. Right, I'll put some music on and do my best to respond to those people, and then talk to you in a bit about some other stuff. I'll tell you what the lady in the chemist said. That's how you broadcast. That's how you broadcast, Daniel John Kitson. This next song is called The Teacher. It's by Super Furry Animals from the album Gorilla. And I like Super Furry Animals very much. This song in particular, I walked on stage to this song every night in Edinburgh in 1999. I was comparing a show. It was a very sort of poorly conceived show. It was me comparing it. Then Trevor Locke doing 15, I think, originally. And then Andrew Maxwell doing 45 minutes. And it was an odd situation. Maxwell was understandably irked that he wasn't doing his own solo show, but his agent had sort of cooked up this thing thinking it would be better for everyone because it'd be more like a sort of more like a comedy club night, I guess. I don't know what the idea was really, and it is safe to say that we were three creatively opposed forces. And gradually Trevor did less and less, and Andrew did more and more. And it was, to be completely frank, a thoroughly unpleasant experience. Although it did contain an absolutely crucial nugget of advice from Maxwell. It was quite. I'd basically been comparing quite a rowdy club in London a lot, and I was comparing this gig in Edinburgh like it was a rowdy club, and so I was going in quite hard on people, and then feeling quite ashamed about it afterwards. And he said, you have to realise not every gig is the comedy caff. You have to realise that some, that these people have come because they want to be here and listen, so you don't have to do that. And I was like, oh, that's annoying, because that is great advice. Anyway, this is what I walked onto every night, and in spite of that being a tricky time, it was also, of course, a magical time. Anyway, here we go.
I'm ashes round the yard. She says if I leave before you, darling, don't you waste me in the ground. I lay smiling like a sleeping children. One of us will die inside these arms. Eyes wide open. We'll be right back.
on drums, but hexagon, pentagon on drums, but
That is Tall Buildings by Diagrams. And before that was Naked As We Came by Iron and Wine. And before that was... what was the one I played before that? Oh, it was The Teacher, wasn't it? By Super Furry Animals. Pardon me. That song, Tall Buildings, I went to see... Diagrams, I think, was it Diagrams or Tongue? So Diagrams, I'm not entirely clear on the lineage, but I think the Diagrams is an ex-member of the band Tongue, I think. Tongue spelt T-U-N-N-G, I think, again. I refuse to check any of this. I mean, if the website's not going to work, then why should I check? that's going to be great. That's a great excuse for willful incompetence. When I went to see them, they played Tall Buildings and they handed out balloons, flat balloons, uninflated balloons. And we were told to inflate our balloons. It was a seated gig. It was in... the Purcell Room, I think, on the South Bank, at the South Bank Centre. Very comfy chairs. Ah, oh, thank you, Keith. And it was a very different time, obviously, because we all got these balloons and we blew them up, huffing and puffing, just spitting at each other, licking each other's fingers, having a right old time of it. And we were told to keep the balloons until just after the start of that. So basically, I think we were given the balloons at the start of the set, and they said, blow them up and keep them under your chair, and we'll tell you when you need them. And they played Tall Buildings last, and the very start of that, so that, hang on, so this bit, hang on, let me see if it will start again.
We see tall buildings and we shout.
So that when they go, we see tall buildings and we shout, when they go, hey, that's when we had to hit our balloons up into the air. And I don't know how big the Purcell Room is, maybe 200, maybe 300. And we all hit our balloons in the air, and then all the balloons were bouncing around the room for the whole song. And it was really good stuff. Anyway, I can't promise all my anecdotes are going to be as blistering as that, because I'm having to combine broadcasting with tech support. if you have just joined us because the website wasn't working, I'll give you a brief précis of what you missed. Weird Science is currently on the television. Let's just check in, see what's happening.
Lisa could have a good time at an insurance seminar, Wyatt.
That's good, actually. She's got a really good attitude. If you've never seen Weird Science, then, I mean, it's probably best not to bother at this stage. You'd be better off sticking to War Games, I imagine. The other big news is that I didn't have my root canal because it would have taken too long. So I saw my dentist. He was very nice to me. It was comforting just to be with him. He showed me on the pictures what needed doing. And then I'm going back tomorrow at 6 p.m. and he's going to mangle my gobble.
Sorry, I got distracted by a noise outside that sounded like a fast train. And I'm not like a million miles away from a train line, but I wouldn't have thought it would be that audible. So there's only one reasonable solution, which is that there's a ghost outside and it's driving a train. There's a ghost outside and it's driving a train. There's a ghost outside and it's driving a train. There's a ghost outside and it's driving a train. And I'm on a lot of drugs to soothe my pain because there's a ghost out. Anyway, I went to the chemist. I went to the chemist earlier because last night the ibuprofen and the paracetamol just suddenly stopped having any effect on the pain. It was like, no, mate, shrug it off. I'm going to work through those barriers. And I also, well, yeah, I mean, that is true, but it is slightly, well, basically, that is true. It didn't work. And then I, rather than sort of doing one then the other every 4 hours, I did one and then the other after 2 hours, and that seemed to have a better effect. Anyway, my point is, I ran out and I had to go to the chemist. I haven't been in the chemist for yonkadonks. And I went in my mask, dripping in sanitizer, absolutely sodden in the stuff. Drenched, and I said, "Have you got?" So I got an email from someone saying that I should try a thing called Auragel, and so I went in and I got some paracetamol, some ibuprofen, and I said, "Have you got any Auragel?" And she said, "Oh yeah, we've do you want the extra strength?" And I said, "Yeah." And then I said to her, she said, I need to be careful with this because it will really numb the whole area. And I said, oh, that sounds great. I'm having a root canal at 9:30 tonight. So yeah, I just need to get to that, really, which is a weird, I mean, it's weirdly boastful, isn't it? I mean, having said that, I did repeatedly brag about my nighttime root canal to you lot. Anyway, I said, I'm having a root canal, and she, the lady in the chemist, she said, presumably without thinking, oh no, that is gonna hurt. And then she caught herself, realized that she's probably not meant to say to someone, oh no, that is gonna hurt. And so changed the word hurt for this sound, hoi. that is what actually happened. I said, I've got a root canal at 9:30, so I just need to get to that. She went, oh no, that is gonna hoi. Anyway, it gave me a little giggle at the time and a little giggle now, so you know, mustn't grumble. So a bit more. Oh yeah, let's have this is oh, I've got something. I'm just scratching something off my... I don't know what it is, but there's something dried on the screen of my iPad. I think it must be coffee because it's brown. I mean, any way you slice it, it's not entirely savoury, is it? Anyway, look, let's crack on. Let's have a bit more. Let's have a bit more music. I can have a think about if there's anything more worthy of anecdote than the lady in the chemist, but I do want it on record that so far this is a technically clean show from my end, and it's the show that most of you have had technical difficulty with. So let's all bear that in mind, yeah, when we're building my statue in the inevitable future. Oh yes, we're done well with this one.
Watch TV. I used to think that it was good for me. Wanted to know what folks were thinking, to understand the land I live in. And I would lose myself and it would set me free. This is the place where common people go. A global franchise. Yes, there were men.
Robert Downey Jr. is in Weird Science, I've just seen. Right, well, there we go. That was some fairly hectic music for this time of night. Shut up, please. Thank you. But it did suit what was happening in Weird Science. Have a little listen to this. Oh, my God. Oh, I don't think you want to have a fight with him, mate. He's walking through a wall. He's walking through a wall. Ooh.
We're gonna get you guys some drinks. You look like a scratch, man. You want some, gonna get some stuff. Is this your party?
Oh my God.
Kind of. I mean, if you could call it a card, hard, you know, because it's, just a few friends.
How come? Two unpopular dicks like you.
Wow.
Is having a party.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I was just asking myself that very question, and unlike Dick, sometimes
look, the word we're is very silent.
I don't know.
How would you like all your friends here to know that you wear a bra?
Well, there you go. I guess that's, I mean, you know, sure, it was made in 1985, but it still rings true. What was happening during a Titanium Two-Step by Battles was that man who's just said that he wears a bra, he was riding around a house, like a suburban house, on a big motorbike, you know, on a big, you know, naughty boy motorbike. And he's got a whole gang and one member of his gang, half of his face is made of metal, right? So it's pretty scary stuff anyway. Perfectly soundtracked by Titanium Two-Step by Battles. I imagine that's exactly what they were watching when they made that particular jam. And before that was England is a Garden by Corner Shop from the album England is a Garden. That's the thing about me. I will delve deep into any piece of work. Before that was Saturn V by Inspower Carpets. And before that, what was it before that? It was I Should Watch TV by David Byrne. So there you go. That is you fully up to date on the sweet, sweet jams I've been playing. I'll tell you, I mean, it felt today like that there was going to be a very big storm, and then there was a tiny mediocre storm. So it's sort of, you just end up feeling like you're being unreasonable for wanting more from the sky. But I did want more from the sky. I wanted it to absolutely, absolutely explode. And it did it. But sorry, I just got a bit distracted by an email there that just says, right, okay, right, yes, no. I misread it. I misread it as something quite offensive, and actually it was something quite complimentary. Ordinarily, I guess on the radio, people have people for reading emails, my head's gone. It's absolutely turned to mush. I got an email today. Actually got it. Weirdly, I got it during the show last night, but I didn't see it until today. Saying it was from the same person who emailed me the day before, saying they'd heard Birdsong when I was in the garden, which made them think that it can't have been midnight, so the whole thing must have been pre-recorded, which I assume was a joke, and I still assume it was a joke. But this email said that I if it wasn't pre-recorded, I can't remember exactly how they phrased it, but their point seemed to be, if it wasn't pre-recorded, then why wasn't I responding to it? Like, well, why was I talking about their email the next day rather than talking about it when it came in? Because I've got a lot on, right? I've got a lot happening. I've got to locate tracks. I've got to click on things. I've got to watch Weird Science. That's not going to watch itself. I've occasionally got to make this noise due to my stutter. You know, these are all things that I have to factor in. Anyway, my tomato plant's doing very well on the front steps, since you ask. So tonight, well, the plan tonight was for me to have my root canal and then to actually do the show from the van again, but have the van in Roehampton next to, and this might sound weird in the cold light of day, even at this time of night, but basically I went to university in Roehampton. And I'd had a little idea that I was going to drive you around Roehampton and to take you on a tour of all the emotional landmarks. You know, I could have literally parked next to the building in which I lost my virginity. I mean, but by that, I mean that there's a parking space and it's not an occupied building currently. I don't mean I'd have just driven up to someone's house, honk, honk, honk. I'm just having a trip down memory lane. Don't worry about me. But about 22 years ago, something absolutely, absolutely underwhelming happened in one of those rooms. Honk, honk, honk. Anyway, I was going to go there. I was going to drive to my old hall of residence. That's now got a big gate on, I saw. Probably because they didn't want people broadcasting from the car park like perverts. Hang on. There's a big noise outside there, but I'm not sure what it was. Fox, maybe, or someone sticking something in the bin. Hang on. I'll go and have a look. I mean, if I was any sort of broadcaster, I'd have been killed there, and that would have been a phenomenal show. I couldn't see anyone or anything. But it is bin night, as you may remember from last week. It is bin night. So there's plenty of stuff out there for the foxes to be chomping onto. Anyway, I was going to take you to the... To the place where I tried my one and only ever cigarette. I was walking back from a pub in East London, well, from the train, having been to the pub, with a girl who was a bit older than all the rest of us, Welsh, and she was called Sarah, and she was very cool, very cool. And her and her cool mates, who were slightly older, went to this pub in East London and sang karaoke and were very good at it. And I was sort of waddling along in their wake. And then Sarah needed a, there's no polite word for this, a piss. And we were walking up Roehampton Lane, and there's this very grand building with a very long driveway. So she went, oh, I'm just going to nip round this, what's the word for... but when you've got the two sort of small columns on either side of a driveway. Anyway, she nipped behind one of those and had a waz, and she said to me, here, hold this, and gave me a cigarette. I have always been vehemently anti-smoking, and yet I'm also insatiably curious. I'm terrified, but I'm nosy. I'm judgmental, but I'm open-hearted. I'm a bigot, but I'm a god. aren't most gods? Are they? I don't know enough to be saying that. I don't know enough about gods or bigotry to be saying that. But I've had a swing. Anyway, so I had a tiny drag on this cigarette, and the thing that surprised me was that the air was warm, which shouldn't surprise you really, because you are sucking it through fire, and I was 21, so I should have been able to put that together really in retrospect. Anyway, let's have another song, and I can just double check that my door's locked. Not a euphemism. I reckon we'll have some classic Hanlon. Yeah.
From every shadow there are things that follow you. From your late night dead end job, from the old neighborhoods where you grew. There's a falling satellite.
Thought keeps me awake at night.
There's a chocolate fondue.
There's no nutritional value.
There's a ground invasion.
With complete color.
There's a sleepover screen.
The bed is not a trampoline.
There's a hymn with a hand on the heart. And all these things will follow you. And all these things will follow you.
Suffocating in the car. It's just the way
It's a book you'll get around to read.
It's a head that you forgot to feed.
It's an ex-boyfriend you can't forget.
A godparent you never met.
It's the fear that began one single Elvis fan. Can be wrong the other 49. Odd million screaming others also can. And those things will follow you. And those things will follow you. And their lights will shine right through. So when you open up your eyes, they will know you when they do. I left it here.
I mean the one behind your ear.
You're just a piece of work, that's all.
Take me and hang me on the wall.
Away from where the guards linger.
You touch the painting with your finger.
And I was placed under gallery arrest.
It's a chance to wear your Sunday best.
And look sharp on the stand. And raise my right shaking hand. It's where everything I say is true. On a first edition copy of Peter Pan. And those things will follow you. And those things will follow you. And their lights will shine right through. So when you open up your eyes, they will know you when they do. And all those things will follow you. And those things will follow you. And their lights will shine. Everyone will know it's you.
Yes, well, that's hubris, isn't it? That's hubris. What I was trying to do there was just quickly look at another track on Spotify to pop into my playlist. And I did that on my computer, and so it confuddled my iPad, and that stopped the song that was playing, which was The Weight of My Words, the Fortet instrumental remix of the Kings of Convenience song. I think it had got to about here, hadn't it? But you get the gist of that one, I think. You get the gist of that. It's good, but, you know, it's really good. It's really good. It's two of my favourites. Absolutely rubbing up against each other. But you do, I mean, it's not a song that can necessarily withstand suddenly stopping and then starting again. Anyway, sorry about that, guys. Sorry about that little bit of incompetence there. But wouldn't be the same, would it? Wouldn't be the same if I wasn't occasionally, just occasionally incompetent. I can't remember what the thing was before that. Oh, it was All These Things by Darren Hanlon. But pardon me, I think one more song, bit of a chat, and then a final song, and then off to bed, everyone. I don't care where you're listening. I don't care where in the world you are. At the end of this, we're all going to clean our teeth and go to bed. Right, okay. I don't want any arguments about that. It's 3 years since I've been to the dentist. He was very firm but kind about that. He said, so this is your fault because it's 3 years. And I was like, yep. Yeah. This is my fault, all right. But, you know, there's plenty of stuff that's my fault, mate. I mean, if you want to start pulling on that thread, then we might as well open a wool shop. You get me? That is Sometimes by James. That's it's live at Maida Vale Studios. That I've got a lot of time for that song. I once did a gig in Brighton, and the guy, the main guy, was in the audience. I didn't know he was in the audience. He'd brought his son. His son was little, not super little, but a young teenage boy. And I started talking to the young teenage boy about music and asked him what he was into. And I think he said he was into Slipknot or something. And I think I was very much like, no, Slipknot are rubbish, mate. Here you go. And I'd got some CDs in my bag and I gave him some CDs. and then I got an email off the guy. And he was like, oh, hello, I'm the guy. You gave my son some CDs. And, you know, that's a bit of a weird situation, isn't it? That'd be like me taking my son to see a band and the lead singer saying, oh yeah, what sort of comedy are you into? And then him saying, oh, I love Chubby. And the band saying, no, that's not good. Here's some stuff. And then just giving him CDs of other comedians but not mentioning me at all. And I'm sitting right next to him going, anyway, let's see what's happening on Weird Science. I think it's just ending. Hang on.
She's alive.
Yes, it is.
Weird Science.
Yes. Bill Paxton is in it. God.
Elastic tubes and pots and babies, bits and pieces, and the magic from the handle make it weird science.
It's time to go back in, but everything you thought you knew is different.
Horrifying chat up line. Anyway, we're very nearly done. It's 1:21. This is what I was going to tell you earlier when I started wanging on about how I was going to drive round Roehampton. Do you remember how, I think last night it was, I mentioned that there's a guy who parks outside my house. So he doesn't get home from work until, I think about 9-ish, right? So I was already at the dentist, right? I was already heading out to the dentist. And he scooted in and he's parked outside my house again. This guy just insists on parking where he can that is both close to his house and fully allowed. This guy. I might slash his tyres and take a shit on the bonnet and put a banana in the tailpipe. That, I believe, was in the first draft of Beverly Hills Cop, and then they just trimmed it for time. You know, that's quite often what happens, that they just trim for time. Anyway, look, thanks for listening. I hope it's not been a complete waste of your time. I'm going to play some Tallest Man on Earth now. And then I'll probably have to play something else after, or I might come back if I think of something worth saying, but that seems unlikely after 43 years. So let's just say that if you don't hear from me again, I'll be doing it next Monday, but I've got three nights off now. The first night of which, I'll be having a root canal. The second night and the third night, they're mine. The tax man can't touch them. They're for me. Maybe I'll just spend them in my paddling pool, because the temperature's dropping, so the time seems right. All right. I hope you're all right, wherever you are. Yeah. That'll do.
In the summer storm, and my mind is with feeling after all memories I can't let go. I'm moving on, but they run faster. My morning's empty and the streets are wide. I look for nothing and I feel alright. Stillness in the ways I try. And then you walk. Says the water's cold, but my mind will have a way to cross it. And I know I held the time so dear, and a feeling it was here I lost it. My morning's empty and my streets are wide. I look for nothing and I feel alright. Stillness in the ways I try. And then you won't come back. What if you heard me now, my dear? My body's with the birds and me, but my mind is with the times they're leaving. Oh, I want them, but I let them go. There's a sparkle in the dust I breathe in. My morning's empty and the streets are wide. I look for nothing and I feel alright. Still listen the ways I try. And then you will come back. My morning's empty and the streets are wide. As I lean into the morning light, tack my body in some other town, and then you walk on by.
shouting out from a flashing light. Someone's baby's home tonight. Wear an earpiece to your TV, 'cause I miss all the good lines now. When a KLM airliner comes in from Copenhagen town, yeah, I sit under the clothesline and watch their stomachs wipe. Like a body surfing city kid, the trail they leave behind. I turn off and watch them come all day. Someone's daddy's gone away. Shouting out from the flashing light, someone's baby's home. Ever rest.